In today's world, where six corporations control 90% of American media, independent journalism has never been more vital. Democracy Now!, founded by Amy Gutman, stands as a beacon of truth-telling in this landscape, giving voice to those systematically excluded from mainstream discourse. From Tahrir Square to Zuccotti Park, from war zones to climate conferences, Goodman's work captures the spirit of resistance movements worldwide that challenge power structures and demand accountability. As corporate media prioritizes profit over public interest, the silenced majority reminds us that democracy cannot function when the powerful control the narrative. The stories collected here reveal how ordinary people across the globe are fighting extraordinary battles to reclaim their democratic rights against overwhelming odds. When Barack Obama campaigned in 2008, he positioned himself as the anti-war candidate who would restore America's moral standing. Yet once in office, he expanded the war in Afghanistan by 30,000 troops and continued many Bush-era policies. The human cost was staggering. Civilian casualties mounted as drone strikes increased, with military commander Stanley McChrystal admitting, "We have shot an amazing number of people, but to my knowledge, none has ever proven to be a threat." Despite promises to close Guantanamo and end torture, his administration continued indefinite detention and used state secrets privilege to avoid accountability. The case of Maher Arar exemplifies this hypocrisy. A Canadian citizen seized at JFK Airport and secretly rendered to Syria for 10 months of torture. When WikiLeaks released documents detailing violence against Iraqis, the administration targeted whistleblowers rather than addressing the crimes. What became painfully clear was that the military-industrial complex remained firmly in control regardless of who occupied the White House. Every day in this country, 18 veterans commit suicide. 17% of individuals in combat in Afghanistan are on psychotropic medication. These sobering statistics reveal the hidden cost of America's longest wars. When Army Specialist Chancellor Kiesling committed suicide in Iraq, his parents discovered they wouldn't receive a presidential condolence letter due to policy excluding suicide deaths. The Pentagon acknowledged a mounting crisis, with military suicides climbing from under 100 in 2005 to nearly 200 in 2008. At Dover Air Force Base, a sergeant told the Kieslings, "I'm greeting a suicide body almost every day." The military's approach to mental health prioritized duty performance over soldier welfare. At Joint Base Lewis-McChord, described as the most troubled base in the military, 285 PTSD diagnoses were mysteriously reversed, possibly to avoid paying benefits. Kevin Baker, a former staff sergeant who refused deployment after being denied PTSD treatment, argued the military must be held responsible for these tragedies, comparing denial of psychological help to refusing treatment for physical wounds. Meanwhile, Lieutenant Dan Choi, an Iraq War veteran and Arabic linguist, was discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, despite his critical skills. These stories reveal the profound disconnect between America's rhetoric about supporting troops and the reality of how veterans were treated. The Supreme Court's Citizens United decision fundamentally transformed American politics by allowing unlimited corporate spending in elections. The consequences became immediately visible in Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's recall election, where he outspent his opponent by more than 7-1 thanks to unprecedented out-of-state funding. Despite gathering over 900,000 signatures for the recall, the movement couldn't overcome Walker's financial advantage, demonstrating how elections could now be bought with help from a few billionaires. Montana's Century-Old Corrupt Practices Act, passed in 1912 to prevent copper mining magnates from controlling elections, was struck down by the same Supreme Court majority. The law had been a response to corruption exemplified by William A. Clark, who famously boasted, "I never bought a man who wasn't for sale." The 2012 election became the most expensive in U.S. history, potentially exceeding $5 billion, with most money going to TV political advertisements. Why does this matter? Because when money equals speech, those with the most money speak loudest. The growing movement for a constitutional amendment specifying that people, or persons in the Constitution, doesn't include corporations, represents a rare issue uniting Americans across the political spectrum who recognize the danger of allowing our democracy to be sold to the highest bidder. As the EU phased out incandescent bulbs, the world gathered for the Copenhagen Climate Conference to update the Kyoto Protocol. With atmospheric carbon dioxide at 387 ppm, far above the sustainable 350 ppm, the conference was crucial for establishing binding global action. The stakes were especially high for vulnerable nations like the Maldives, whose teenage climate ambassador asked if industrialized nations would commit murder even while we are begging for mercy. The summit failed. WikiLeaks later exposed U.S. diplomatic manipulation, offering aid to vulnerable nations for support while cutting it from opposing countries like Bolivia and Ecuador. When confronted, U.S. negotiator Todd Stern denied bribery claims but avoided questions about aid cuts, prompting Bolivia's UN ambassador to call it blackmail. By the 2011 Durban conference, conditions had worsened. Student activist Anjali Appadura challenged negotiators, declaring, "You've been negotiating all my life and demanding equity now." The United States, historically the largest polluter, with emissions 4 times China's and 13 times India's, remained unwilling to address its fossil fuel dependency, effectively ending the Kyoto Protocol. The Arab Spring and Occupy movements converged through activists like Asma Mahfouz, whose video call to Tahrir Square in January 2011 led to her later teaching at Occupy Wall Street. Despite facing arrest in Egypt, she stood in solidarity with American protesters against U.S. military intervention. In Madison, Wisconsin, 80,000 protested Governor Walker's anti-union legislation, comparing him to Mubarak. When 2,099% protesters occupied Wall Street in September 2011, they challenged Wall Street's role in the global financial crisis, though receiving minimal media coverage. Iraq and Afghanistan veterans joined Occupy Wall Street by Veterans Day 2011. Former Marine Scott Olson suffered a fractured skull from a police projectile during an Occupy Oakland protest while standing peacefully. These movements united ordinary people, demanding accountability from powerful institutions and a voice in their governance. Independent media plays a vital role in exposing hidden truths that challenge powerful interests. WikiLeaks' release of the collateral murder video revealed both the killing of Reuters journalists in Baghdad and the military's subsequent cover-up, despite Reuters' freedom of information requests. In Haiti, independent journalists investigated the mismanagement of billions in earthquake relief while survivors remained in tent cities. In Honduras, they revealed the U.S.'s role in supporting a military coup against President Zelaya, contradicting official statements. These stories embody the silenced majority, voices fighting for justice against overwhelming odds. As corporate media increasingly aligns with power, independent journalism becomes crucial for maintaining an informed democracy. When given voice, the silenced majority becomes a powerful catalyst for change.